I am a man under a task. Mark Sakevich asked me to do a report, a devotional. I'm going to be really truthful. When I heard that, I was a little bit scared. Devotional? I've done 7-minute devotionals. I've done 10-minute devotionals. And then I asked Nathan LeMaster, okay, how much time do I have? 45 minutes. Give me a text. I know how to preach, but this is a devotional, and I do come before you not as a veteran or someone that has a bunch of experience, but as one that is constantly reminded that by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me did not prove in vain, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. It is not in vain. So the goal this morning is for me to share how the Lord took us to Costa Rica, what he has done there, and I'll give some testimonies, and where he is leading. And as I do so, I'll share some lessons and testimonies of what he's doing in us and through us. And beyond that, my prayer is that beyond you listening to the story and connecting the dots, my prayer this past weeks has been that we would press into those truths beyond just the stories, and that you would be amazed at God's providence and how it unfolds, and wonder in God himself for who he is and what he does. So I'm coming to you as a witness of God's faithfulness, being conscious that I am a very disposable servant. I am reminded afresh that ministry is a mercy of the Lord, as our beloved Pastor John always reminded us. So as a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said, for if I proclaim the gospel, I have nothing to boast, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For consider your calling, the Apostle Paul reminds us, brothers, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may abolish the things that are, so that no flesh may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So having cleared the table, and in a sense, the report I'm giving, it took me 3+ years, or maybe in a sense also a lifetime. Let's consider the first point. How did the Lord take us to Costa Rica? So as Mark explained, the Lord brought us here to seminary. And while we were finishing seminary, we were exploring what the Lord had for us. At the get-go, we thought we were going to Switzerland, because my wife is Swiss, and we were dealing with GMI, the location of our service. We wanted to go out there, but we needed a visa. So all my kids and wife have the Swiss passport. Not myself. I come from the Swiss of Central America. That's how they call Costa Rica. So not having the red passport, but having the blue one, I filed in all my paperwork and was waiting for the nationality to come. They told us normally it takes nine months, maybe a year. It could take up to 2 years. So we knew it was a waiting period. And how do you wait? That's one lesson. You wait patiently. And as my mentor, Nathan, said, the thing with patience is that you have to wait to grow in patience. And so we did. But not only we wait, but we have to wait joyously. And therein, the passport didn't arrive. So we were here. I graduated. I could not work because my work permit was linked to my student status. So the earnings we had started slowly diminishing, first month, second month, third month. And as a testimony of God's grace, the elders here You, church, with the deacon's funds, you helped our family survive the last month because we had no more income. And we were asking counsel, what do we do then? We want to go to Switzerland. There's no passport. We can't stay here. I need to work. I submitted an OPT, meaning optional practical training, 1 year post-student, post-graduation. And that didn't arrive either. Once again, they told me it might take like a month. I'm going to tell you on the timing because I'm also amazed at how the Lord does everything in his timing. So no OPT. And we asked the counsel of those whom we love and respect. And an open door, a friend of mine calls me up and says, hey, there's a pastor that's burnt out and it would be great if you just come out and wait here or serve and see, you know, test the waters. And so we did with the approval and blessing of the church here. So we went down to Costa Rica. That's providentially how the Lord took us there. And there's a lesson as well. How do you discern God's will? And I'm wondering if that might speak to someone here today. You might be going through seasons in your life where you're asking the Lord, Lord, guide me, lead me. And you always go to God's word. What does he say? You seek counsel of those who are more mature around you. What do you desire subjectively? And of course, objectively, the opportunities he gives you. So circumstantially, he led us to Costa Rica, knowing that was a place where I could just have boots on the ground, or I might say flip-flops on the sand, and start ministry. And ministry is a joyous endeavor. Being a missionary in the front lines, I am constantly and daily being exposed to God's word. The need was much. There was need all over. And as I was being exposed to God's word, I was continually being convicted of the sinfulness of my sin, which led me and threw me into the feet of my Savior. And so it is a joyous, joyous endeavor to see the great love found in him alone. Joyless ministry should be an oxymoron. Ministry is indeed a mercy. At times, joy shrinks experientially, but that's when we have to recalibrate. Your walk with the Lord should be recalibrated with God's word such that your thoughts would be framed in the truth. As John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And I love the instrument of sanctification, which is truth, and amplified in that verse by the source, which is your word is truth. So what did the Lord had? What did we do at, what are we doing in Costa Rica? The church is called Iglesia Casa Vida Tamarindo. It's the northern region of the country. And the idea was to strengthen it. So we started off with fundamentals of the faith. I started teaching systematic theology and pulpit ministry. And Steph served with her piano gifts. One of the lessons I learned, I would entitle it, Grace Undergirds Love and Truth. So it's all about training men and loving the saints. Salvation and sanctification are both goals. So we were trying to strengthen the saints and reach the lost. And one lesson, as Roosevelt famously quoted, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Down in a little town of 6,000 max people, dirt roads, it's quite a scene. They don't quite even care what my credentials are. TMS, they don't even know what TMS is. And that is perfectly fine because we do not rely merely on the credentials per se, but we operate before the audience of one. And do not hear me wrong. I am deeply grateful for TMS, and I even want to study some more at some point. But what I'm trying to bring home is that our training is as good as our true love for the Savior's ship is. I just noticed my accent. Not ship, but sheep. So once we had boots on the ground, flip-flops on the ground, we learned to invest intentional time to speak truth, to set the table before we were going to speak truth in love. And the Lord graced us with his sustaining grace to fight the good fight. Second lesson I learned was about leadership. Let me back up. I want to tell a testimony of speaking truth in love. Let me tell you the testimony of Fernando. I meet this brother, Fernando. He is, you would see him on the outside, you would see nothing wrong. Really cool guy, loved him. And just being intentional with him, he reached out one day and he says, "Brother, could we just have a coffee?" Like, for sure. I mean, coffee in Costa Rica, that's another good thing. Coffee in Costa Rica is really good. Coffee? Yeah, well, why not? He later on expands that he's been having anxiety problems, even to the point of panic attacks. I couldn't even believe it coming from him. Panic attacks? What do you mean? He would go to a restaurant or somewhere with his wife, Rox, and he would just shut down and be depressed, even have suicidal thoughts. And what do you do, right? What do you do in that moment? Well, we do what we always do. We go to God's word and try to pour into him the truth that there is a Savior that has paid the penalty and the price of your sin, and that he has risen from the dead, and that's the only hope of salvation. So Fernando, as we walked maybe 9 months with him, by God's grace, he has learned to rest in the sufficiency of Scripture. That's all by grace. That's a testimony of the Lord's grace. The word is sufficient. It is indeed. The second lesson I learned is about leadership. Leadership should not be driven or anchored in character or charisma, but rather in faithfulness, namely servant leadership. Leadership by conviction rather than preference. If you rely on the flesh as the source of your leadership, that will melt before the holy light of God's biblical qualification, which is not charisma or your character. Character is really important, as we know in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, Titus 1, 2 Timothy 2, 24, and 1 Peter 5. So the character should be in sync with the biblical qualifications of what true character, not what the world says a leader is, but a servant's heart. So it's crucial in ministry to have the same convictions, have the same philosophy, and even chemistry. Third lesson the Lord taught me was to be patient when wronged. Nobody wants to be wronged. I don't want to be wronged. So we embrace disappointment. When personal hardships as many times happens when we live in a sin-sick world. So we remember. I actually had a card in my desk. I took a photo of it, which I went to it frequently. I frequently went to this little post-it which says, "Remember, Carlos, remember." I preached that to my own soul. "I have known God's favor and loving kindness." That's his chesed. "I have been liberated from captivity. I have been forgiven by the propitiation of Jesus Christ of my sins. I have been liberated from the wrath of God by Christ. I have received his mercy. I have been given ears to hear. I have determined not to go back to folly. I have God on my side, and I pray for his glory to be displayed." We need to remember to be patient when wronged. Accept criticism without defending yourself. You endure the attacks in silence before men, but make your voice loud and heard in the courts of heaven. because he knows and he cares. 1 Peter 3:8-12 says, "Now to sum up, all of you be like-minded, sympathetic, brotherly, tender-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit blessing. For the one who desires life to love," I love that, "the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears attend their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So how? How do we remember that we must be patient? And kindness is a virtue in ministry. Kindness is something that the man of God, the sheep, as well as the shepherd, we must be characterized by kindness. We can do so. We can walk after his footsteps because he walked first. He left an example. Christ did as an act of deliberate and conscious obedience. So as disciples, we are expected to follow after. The goal of ministry is to glorify God. And as 2 Corinthians 10 says, that we are destroying strongholds. When you destroy strongholds, which is bad thinking, bad theology, the battle is on. We wage war. And when you speak truth, there will be opposition. And I am so grateful for the Hispanoamerica mentor, David Robles, which when we were going through some difficulties in ministry due to a discrepancy in convictions and philosophy of ministry, he just said, there's nothing weird happening. It's normal. Doctrine divides. You need to know that when you destroy strongholds, you must know that we need to keep in mind to love the unlovable. God has sent every detail in our lives, in your lives, for his glory and your good. So character is not optional. We must keep on being faithful servants, and humility does not mean we give up our convictions. But the way we go through hard times in ministry matters. We hold to our convictions, and we do it in a loving way. I was even very encouraged and praise the Lord for the timely manner in which he sends encouragements. So being a GMI missionary, we receive newsletters from other missionaries. And at a very specific moment, that's another lesson the Lord taught me, to be alone with the Lord. Ministry, at times, it's lonely. You are surrounded by people, but it's lonely to be at the front lines. And when I say be alone, not only lonely, but alone with the Lord, praying and seeking him. And at a specific moment where I was a little bit discouraged, and as I said, I'm not a veteran, right? I'm one year into ministry, you're discouraged already? It happens. I mean, and Rob Provost, he sends out a newsletter with a letter that Pastor John wrote to him when he started off his ministry in Albania. Albania, I believe so, yeah. And Pastor John, I'm going to read it to you. December 3rd, 1987, Mr. Rob Provost. "Dear Rob," Pastor John writes, "thanks for writing." Rob was writing to Pastor John, "Hey, this is happening. What should I do? What's your counsel?" Pastor John writes, "Thanks for writing. You are in my thoughts and prayers often. I rejoice that you are becoming valiant for the truth. The Lord chooses, it seems, a few men." I'm sorry. "In every season of church life to be stalwarts for the truth, to preserve the deposit of biblical teaching that must not be ignored or compromised. The church around the world does not have many strong men who will not compromise the word for anything, but the few there are preserve it for the next generation. And the issue is not rejection of biblical truth, but ignorance of it, indifference to it, or failure to live by it at every point. Subtly, the enemy has people convinced that if they affirm scriptural authority, it is not important that they live firmly and unwavering by it. I believe you can progress in maturity to fullness of spiritual stature through all the circumstances of your life. Certainly, the Lord has planned your training program, and you are in part of it now. And the goal is the fullness of the stature of Christ. But people who stay in that environment are hampered in the progress and limited by the things they don't know and thus can't apply. You are not too critical, Rob. Rather, you are being proved by the Lord to think through where you stand, to comprehend the problems, and to learn to lean on him. I believe all this is to mold you into the man he plans you to be. Be analytical. I was and still am. Draw lines. Perceive things right and wrong, good and best. Do not let yourself get blended into the gray, quote, where many live. Be black and white and idealistic. Idealism is discontent with the statu quo, and it drives men to be agents of change. No doubt you will be such an instrument. Whatever you do, when this training period is over, should be dramatically affected by it. So make value judgments and accept and discard things as you experience them. All this is refinement. We are beginning a new ministry called the Master's Fellowship, and so on. Patricia and I send a check soon, and God bless you, in his service. I praise the Lord for the medium of technology. Being out there in the field, I have not only been reboosted and resourced by this church's ministry, not only watching all the memorials, the services, the blessing that has a rippling effect around the world, and it did reach down to Tamarindo in Costa Rica. And that leads me to my fourth lesson, the aroma of gospel witness. I'm reading a little booklet. When I say little, it's really little. A Principled Life of Obedience by A.N. Martin, which expounds the essential elements of faithful Christian living. It expounds the stanza in Psalm 119, 57, which says, Yahweh is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I have sought to please your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I thought upon my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. And I speak that of aroma, and I love when the analogies are culinary. The aroma of gospel witness. What do I mean by that? When you are serving the Lord, and this aroma comes from 2 Corinthians 2:14, which is in fact a cohort. When a herald was sent, you were in war, and you would wage battle, and you would win the victory. A herald would be sent to the town and say, "Herald, victory!" That victory, and as they would parade around the city, the aroma of this victory, they were lighting up some aroma there. And for those who were on the side of victory, it would be a pleasant aroma. But for those who were on the side of defeat, it was an aroma of death. So at times, mission feels like a failure. when there are blocks on the road, you think, it seems like I'm failing. I don't see much fruit. But we must be reminded of the Lord's provision. As Isaiah 55 says, the word goes forth and never comes back void. So may it be that it lands in opposition, or may it be that it lands in salvation. We can know that we have not failed. That is the truth. So the aroma of gospel witness leads me to the testimony of both Domenica and Toto, two couples. Domenica, she used to be a witch. So Tamarindo is known for retreats from people all over the world to come and do ayahuasca and yoga. And we know that all that undergirds this is demonic in nature. She came down from Canada with her husband, Antonio. And as she's in town, in those retreats, her getaways, and as she sinks deeper and deeper into the darkness of that realm, she asks and thinks, this is not fulfilling. This is actually draining me even further down. This does not worse life, which leads her. So our church is located in the main vein. There's one road, one paved road. We just got our first light stop last year. People complained about the light stop. I was like grateful for it. But people were like, oh, now we have to wait to turn and so on. But as she drives down from Tamarindo to Huacas, she sees our church services. She goes in and she actually enrolls on Fundamentals of the Faith. She starts just listening and listening. She said that her husband wanted to listen as well, but couldn't. So for the first maybe four sessions, it was just Domenica. And I start seeing Antonio appearing, and both of them listen and listen, long, short. They are now at church, worshiping the Lord Jesus, and that is all of his grace. Toto and Miu is also another couple. You see the aroma of life in them. Two very gifted doctors. Miu, she is a nurse. Toto, he's a dentist. So listen to this. This is very funny. Miu, they're having real issues in their marriage. And both of them, not being believers, Miu brings Toto to church. She wants help, and she wants him to be exposed to the preaching of God's word. I remember Toto, the first two services, I was trying to cross his eyesight so that I could say hi, because I knew he was new. His countenance was just closed, and he made a V-line back to... So he came to church, sat down, listened, did a V-line to his car, and I couldn't make contact with him. We have a Bible study on Fridays. For the first time ever, none of us could go to the Bible study, just the hosts, and Miu took Toto. So it was a one-on-one with the hosts. And they opened up and they explained the need of help, and they wanted to know more about the gospel. And they told Toto, okay, you can, why don't you talk with Carlos? And they actually said, go to Wednesday's men Bible study. We're having a Bible study on Mondays, only the men. So as a doctor, he has one day off per month that's not in the weekends. So it was Wednesday, precisely the day we have the Bible study. And he goes to the Bible study on Monday, and we're sitting in this square table, and he starts speaking that, yeah, well, I've been going to church. They told me on Friday, there was no one there. I went to the Bible study, but they told me to look out for Carlos, and I raised my hand. It's me. He didn't know I was sitting in front of him in the table. So we start speaking and discipling him and just meeting him. The funny thing is that yeah, I don't want to go too long here. We time constraining. But the funny thing is that now Toto is the one who's taking me. I believe both of them have become believers, and they Toto is now taking Miu, and he tells me, like, now he is taking his wife to church. He is now he just did evangelism course, going to church, picking up cables, and he is just in that first love, thriving, and I rejoice in our Savior Jesus Christ. Toto, he's a dentist, so he reads the profiles of his clients. And for some reason, they have to say, like, what religion you're in. And so he now tells me after evangelism course, he's been encouraged to kind of just say, like, okay, he's agnostic. So he would first throw the question, okay, so I heard you're agnostic. Can I tell you about my religion? And he opens up the mouth. He doesn't let them talk and just pours into them the gospel. That is Toto. And now... And now Miu, she's a nurse, and she's told testimonies of how at the deathbed, many have even squeezed her hand. And it is Toto that's saying, Miu, but you should pray. It's a great opportunity. She was mingling with the ethics of work and if she should preach. And he's one of the issues was that he was lazy. He didn't want to work much. He was expending all the money in his own dealings. And he's like, we had them for lunch last weekend, and he said, if they lay you off, I'll pay for everything. I'll work even, I'll get a second job. And it's just encouraging to see that, as well as the aroma of death. I couldn't even believe that in that little town, there's this one guy that's a graduate from Fuller Seminary. He embodies everything that that seminary is. And that reminds me of what Titus 1:12 says. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And that testimony is true of what's happening also at times in Tamarindo. So this guy comes in, and not to make it too long, starts creating... speaking lies in the midst of the hallways. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with people that come in and are not aligned? Well, you deal as we have always dealt with it, according to God's word. We must confront sin, because if not, it is like leaven. That leads me to the fifth lesson, which is disagreeing well. There's a difference between disagreement and disputation. Disputation is a formal disagreement. And there is a way to disagree without being contentious. Titus 1:5 says that you would set in order what remains. So we need to expand on the necessity of making sure the leadership desires the church strengthening to be a destination. So when I mentioned disagreeing well, as I shared with you, we were testing waters out there. My friend, which I love, Huang, we weren't necessarily fully in line with our convictions. So how do you deal with that? Well, you disagree. You don't dispute. You can disagree in such a way that it creates harmony. And even at times, disagreement can strengthen the unity. Unlike conflict or dispute, which involves active contention, vehemence, and relationship rupture, a disagreement marks a lack of unanimity but remains an opportunity for constructive engagement. And the Lord used it. The Lord used our interactions, our conversations, to even strengthen the church with things that were needed. In a world of tolerance, it seems as in the world that we live, it seems as tolerance is the utmost value we must have. But we must count the cost of having convictions. It is beautiful. This past week, being here with like-minded men, this is like Disneyland. This is like beautiful. I love it. But out there, convictions have a cost. So we must count that cost and know that we are willing to embrace whatever the Lord has ordained in his wisdom and in his providence to bring about our growth. I was recently asked, what's the hardest thing in ministry? What's the hardest thing? And I would say the hardest thing is the sin I bring to the table. It's not out there. It's not the circumstances or the one who says your preaching is horrible or the one who critiques. I don't like it, but the hardest thing is how I respond, how my heart responds to whatever the Lord ordains. So let the providence of God in your life be something that brings glory, an opportunity to draw you near to the cross and be more Christ-like. That leads me to lesson number 6. Providing a transparency atmosphere. We come alongside. The goal always was to love the sheep and strengthen the church. And I speak about this because following Jesus is the best thing ever. And I know how much we need spaces for the sheep or those whom the Lord will bring into the flock to open up and speak. And this happened through the testimony of Migue. So Migue and Glory, it's a couple that for 17 years, they've been living in sin, but they had no real reason why they would marry. They didn't find a reason. They were living together and living their lives until they come to church and listen to the gospel, believe in Christ. And now they're expounding scripture. And now they understand that the author of marriage is God himself. And that intimacy is constrained in the framework of marriage only. And that leads them to say, we want to get married. And they just recently got married by God's grace. Migue is the owner of a coffee shop, Selva Negra. And Migue has not only been showing fruit of repentance, but also wants now to open up spaces for transparency, because it was through a small space that he was able to deal with the sin that was indwelling in him. And now that's exactly the coffee shop where we meet every Wednesday morning. And that's the Lord has used it in Toto's life and in other men's life that have spoken about real issues in their lives that otherwise they would not have a place where they can find hope. That leads me to my 7th and last lesson, which is to press on. Amidst all that I've said, God may use churches that are not yet, might be established or unhealthy. He uses them in spite of their faults. So we must focus on faithfulness, not at the expense of obedience. We live in a neighborhood called the Lion's Den. And this is kind of like a sketchy neighborhood in some sense. When we started renting, we had to wire our property with cable, with electricity. And we are encouraged that the Lord is the one who protects us. There are 5 houses in our property. And we press on preaching the gospel, even in the midst of a dark realm. And the within the 5 properties, the Lord even allowed opposition by way of a burglar coming into our property. The house next to us was robbed, if you will. But that reminded us of how he protects. He protects so that we might press on. Our house was just next door within the same property that was breached. But we count everything as a opportunity to bring blessings to the Lord. So now we were going to Switzerland, no OPT. The Lord did his work in Costa Rica. The word moves forth. And we were speaking with GMI. Okay, so this seems it's not going to be a long-term fit. Lord, please lead us. While we were in this discussion, I received an email with the subject, Aloha. My face lit up when I read it. I love it. There's always been a place in my heart for Hawaii. And so I start reading the email, and it's Spencer Reevely, who calls me, writes to me and says, like, hey, remember we crossed paths and we're looking to support a missionary and let's do a video call. We do this video call. I'm like, brother, thank you so much. We do need support and there's things that, yeah, I'd love to partner with you, but I do want to be very transparent and tell you that this is not going to be a long-term fit. So if you invest in us, it won't be, and we shift, I want to be very upfront with you and tell you that. And with one question, he says, do you have a house? To which I respond, we travel light. I have books and clothing. That led to a conversation where he said, we're actually looking for a candidate at our church, Makakilo Bible Church in Oahu. By God's grace, what sounded as a door closing in Costa Rica, the sound of our knees bending in dependence resounded in the sound of an open door, which surprised us. Proverbs 31:20, in the spirit of Proverbs 31:25, we smile at the future. And we know that Proverbs 16:3 is true. Commit your works to Yahweh, and your plans will be established. I am in awe of God's providence and how it unfolds. It's all his doing. It's all by grace. And now the Lord has, in line with GMI and Spencer's and the elders out there, which we just made an exploratory trip, the Lord is leading us to Hawaii to serve him out there. So if I could just ask you to please pray for us, to please pray that not only he would continue opening up the door through the visa process, but also in the sunny tropical region of Tamarindo, that him who said, let light shine out of darkness, be the one who shines in the hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We love our brothers in Tamarindo. We love that church. We pray that the Lord would continue to use it. And now, please also pray that I would grow downward. He must increase and I must decrease. Pray for faithfulness and fruitfulness in the front lines. Pray that he would keep our family. Pray for the visa and smooth travelings and strength to relocate, Lord willing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you so much because we always operate on plan A. What at times seems like shifts and switchback after switchback, we recognize your hand of providence, which undergirds your care and love for us. Please encourage the saints here, glorify your name, and strengthen your church. We long for your coming, Lord. Come, O Lord Jesus. And as we wait, may we be found faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.